speak in the Lord's house, I would ask you to turn again into the second chapter of Hebrews, in the first part of verse 9. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2, and at verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." In our few thoughts upon this on the Lord's Day, we saw that which only the eye of faith, and that is what every believer is given, the eye of faith. Without it, you will never see one iota of the glory of God, the mystery of godliness, the wonder of redeeming love. All that a Christian believer, all that his soul lives on and exists on, is only viewed by the eye of faith. And if we haven't this precious gift imparted, we are blind still, whatever we may have in knowledge in our head of the Scripture of truth. And we go a long way, some have gone a long way, with knowledge of the Scriptures of truth in their head. And have come at last to a very sad and solemn end, having to prove that all that they rested upon was that which perished when they perished. Where mine perishes when the body dies. So, if you and I only have a religion of the mind, it will perish. And that bears a solemn consideration. And it will make the living soul earnestly beg of the Lord to make known unto them this his gift of faith. You know, in the following chapters, the one we read, the 11th of Hebrews, we have that wonderful catalogue of those who possess this living faith, the eye of faith, which enabled them to do impossible things, to endure terrible sufferings, even unto death. Nevertheless, they did endure. And so you and I, if we possess this blessing, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And so then, as we tried to meditate a little on this portion of God's word, it was seeking to know in each for ourselves the blessing of faith in exercise to see Jesus. But we see Jesus. And just briefly, we notice first that which our text speaks of, crowned with glory and honour, in his rightful place, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, what a favourite of you, our Jesus said. Mr. Alson often refers to him as King Jesus. And that is because in his heart, I believe, he has been brought to feel him to be his king. And he, a subject, a loving subject. Or is it so with us, King Jesus? We then notice Jesus seen by faith as the forerunner, going before his people to prepare a place for them in eternal glory. Glorious work. A work only fit for God to do, for no other could undertake such unholy task. But whither for us the forerunner has entered, even Jesus. And then we close their thoughts and I fully appreciate that they were of the thoughts. We didn't get into the depths. I don't think we ever shall. But oh, if we could take a glimpse of something of it and feel it to be a portion God has given us, it will suffice our present need and it will cause us to hunger for more. And that is one of the marks of a living soul, to have a spiritual appetite. Having tasted that the Lord is righteous, they want to partake of the banquet. And so the Holy Spirit leads and guides this seeking soul to where that banquet is provided, even in the King's palace. Oh, how wonderful it is that the Scriptures of truth embrace all these desires. And if at times we cannot seem to feel our part amongst them, or cannot discover in the Word of God that which we long to know in our own heart, it is the Holy Spirit's sacred word to take that word that you need and fix it in your heart, and then you will be established. You'll be strengthened then to go another step in the way. When we close then with, we see Jesus as our surety. And oh, what a wonderful view this is. One bound on our behalf. And that which he is bound by is an undertaking of love, a manifestation of the grace of God in his dear Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, to have this surety as heirs. And just to close that thought, I want just to repeat the lines of a hymn concerning this surety, which Mr. Gadsby very blessedly puts in the 122nd hymn. There's a lot more in that hymn too that's well worthy of our consideration. But just for the moment, our surety, we see Jesus. And Mr. Gadsby says, to this dear surety's hand will I commit my cause. He answers and fulfills his Father's broken laws. Behold, my soul at freedom set, my surety paid the dreadful debt. That is what faith views. Is it what you view? Been favoured to view it? Is it what you long to view? Because as at the present, you cannot say that you have viewed him in the fullness of that work of surety, but you can see the need of it, and you feel the longing for it, and so your heart's prayer is, dear Spirit, come and reveal this even to me, that I may know. That I may find the consolation that is in this precious truth. His powerful blood did once atone, and we read this evening in the 10th of Hebrews, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. It is done. The dear Redeemer on Calvary's tree cried out, it is finished. And that was the whole work of salvation. The whole plan was brought to its fruition in that dreadful moment, yet glorious moment. He breathed his life. He poured out his soul unto death, but the victory was gained. Sins of all his chosen were in that moment removed. What a surety. Oh, what a name then is the name of Jesus, worthy of all praise and adoration. But we must pass on. But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And we see him by the olive plant as that which is most needful and essential for us each, if we are numbered amongst his family. And that is to see Jesus as the way of access to God. It's set forth so clearly in this epistle for the benefit at the time of the Jews. But oh, it's teaching for all the family of God. All the true Israel of God will need to know this Jesus and to see this Jesus as their access unto God. And it can only be in that divinely ordered way. That plan of salvation was perfect. There was nothing lacking, no additions to be made, nothing to be rubbed out and altered. It was perfect. And this perfection was made manifest in the access to God by Jesus Christ, his Son. And the way of this access, as ever it must be emphasized, is by his own blood. Oh, what a mercy that he did not withhold from the election of grace this means whereby sinners could find a way to God. And finding their way to God through his own means, they find acceptance and realize what that way means. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, the Apostle again and again and again sets before us the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ. It cleanses from all sin. That's a miracle. But the same precious blood enables a guilty sinner, a poor wretch here upon earth, surrounded with sin and failing to be in them, yet it permits such as they plead and trust by faith in this precious blood of atonement to find that which they must have, even access, a nearness unto an holy God to whom they can pour out all their soul's desire. Now this was made known in the Old Testament dispensation through the type. When the psalmist cried in his prayer, "All my desires before thee," he had found this access. And he had found it through the merit of the coming Messiah, his Lord, his God. And so he was strengthened in the path he had to take. And so is every believer, before and since, and will be, till the end of time. This is the way, walk here, that applies to this path that the Lord Jesus opened up for sinners to walk in, that they may find peace with God. Now we read tonight The veil of the temple was rent in twain. This was the veil of the temple that was rent in twain. The suffering of the Lamb of God. The Old Testament dispensation separated. Once every year, the high priest went into the holiest of all. But this veil was being rent. And it was rent from top to bottom. In the moment the Lord cried, "It is finished," the way was open. Oh, here we have a wonderful setting forth of this work. The care of it. But all the blessedness. And so we find then that having therefore brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Seek no other way. It can never be found. Trust in no other way that may be set before you. It will surely fail and bring you into distress. But the dear Holy Ghost speaks only of this way. Exalts this way. And instructs the seeking soul to find it. Marked it out. And by faith they follow. And so then there is in this rent veil a glory that shines upon it that is that of the King himself. He is perfect. If an earthly king or monarch should make such a way for poor subjects to walk in that were to bring them to glory and honour, to bring them peace, how quickly would the heart and the mind accept that there could be no other? And they would be thankful for the loving kindness and compassion of such a king to provide a way for unworthy subjects. How much more with our heavenly King? By a new and living way. We must have to prove this living way. If we are rightly exercised about it, the words I quoted in prayer, and I believe we've sung recently, will be your life. This is the way I long and sorrow, and mourn because I found it not. My grief and burden long have been because I could not cease from sin. But here is a sinless world. The sin has been removed. The curse has been removed. It's an open way to heaven. And it's in Christ. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his death. And this then signifies to a seeking soul that there is mercy. There is mercy yet. However guilty we may feel, does conscience accuse you as oft times it may? Here's blood that can take all defilement away. And it's set before us in the gospel of his grace to be received by faith in the hearts of those who believe. What a precious thing it is then to be a subject of belief. I believe in God. Thousands repeat the word. How many know this way that belief opens to them? You know. I hope we do in measure, because if not, we're on a false foundation. Yes, it's a way open to his own by faith in his. And what does it open to us? Hope. good through his grace imparted and faith accepting and acting upon it, a good hope that is set before us. And what a view that is of Jesus, for you won't see anything else, but we see Jesus as our hope set before us, an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, and ascends into that within the veil, even into heaven itself, as we have just been reading. Consecrated for us. And so Paul encourages his fellow countrymen, those who by the grace of God have been drawn and constrained to follow after this despised man. Consecrated. Set apart for this one purpose. For us. Many times in the scriptures, out of the word us, comes into a very special place in the affections of a believer. Have you ever proved it to be in your soul's exercise? When you felt that it does include even me, who gave himself for us, who loved us. It's only a little word, but it embraces countless numbers who shall find this acceptance and find this entrance and be partakers in this good hope. Anchor of the soul, sure, steadfast, and enters into that within the veil, wherein the forerunner has for us entered. And so then, as we view, we see Jesus as this glorious way of access. But it doesn't stop there. Faith viewing this way that God has provided to draw near to God shows to them still the essential need to find the peace they seek. No man has seen God at any time. But we do read that the glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. And we also are taught by the Holy Spirit that if we would be found at a mercy seat, seeking mercy and finding mercy, it is and can alone be through the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ, this Almighty Savior. In the 12th chapter, we read this. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, joined, as it must be, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's sacrifice was accepted because it was a sacrifice of faith. It showed forth the lamb slain. And by faith, he believed that that which he undertook was according to the mind of God. He was the first martyr in that. Cain's sacrifice of earthly things, the produce of this earth, sinful earth, was rejected. And in his anger, he slew his brother. But Abel found acceptance and peace. He found the truth of that which we have before, Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But there is remission through that precious blood, that pure, holy, sacred blood that flows from heaven, sufficient to cleanse all the sins of all these people. And when you consider that, it makes us realize what a fountain that was. And a fountain that still flows. And that is the comfort of the sinner brought to this way of access, to know and feel it still flows for them. They mourn over their sin, but faith looks to that cleansing blood to wash them and make them clean. And through the merit of Him who has supplied it, to find acceptance with an holy God. And to Jesus the mediator. And what is a mediator? We hear much of it in these days. In the industrial circle. A mediator is one who stands between two parties that are at variance one with the other. Will not speak to each other. Will not accept the thoughts of the other. But a mediator stands between in order to reconcile. Now, but we see Jesus as our mediator. Well, it's declared of Him and His gracious blessed work, He reconciled sinners to God. And He has made that reconciliation by faith in Him. Those at enmity with God are brought nigh by His precious blood. Oh, what a sacred work here was undertaken. I repeat again, we can only have glimpses of these blessed words. But if we can feel a little of it in exercising our own soul that makes us long for more, a clearer understanding, a clearer view in respect to our own soul's state, it's a good evidence that the Lord, by His Spirit, He's graciously leading us. And He'll lead us on. You shall see greater things than these, was the promise. And the soul sometimes leaps at the thoughts of those greater things. The Lord Jesus came between sinful man and an holy God to bring this to pass by complete obedience to all God's precepts, to His law, that penal law which must rest upon a sinner, were there not a mediator, were there not one who stands between, who undertook to bear on their behalf that which was their due. And because the believer has a mediator, Jesus, a perfect mediator, an able mediator, divine justice is satisfied completely, and God and Holy God can look upon those whom in His love He has undertaken to reconcile, look upon them with an eye of compassion. He looks upon them, as one of our hymns said, in His sight. Now think, just for a moment, does our God look upon us, you and I, poor sinner, in His sight? Then if so, He'll find not a trace. Behold the perfect man, Jesus Christ. We see Jesus, and we see Him in this perfection, and as His Father looks upon Him, He can be just, and he is a just God, and holy God, a just God, but in his Son, looking upon them in the merit of that work fulfilled, he is also the justifier of all that believe in this mediator. Now what does Jesus mean to you as the mediator? One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Blessed be his dear name. He doesn't change. It was not something that was in the day of the apostles. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And how is this reconciliation effected? If we turn for a moment into the fourth epistle again, writing to a different people this time, into the epistle to the Romans, we find he speaks thus. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his love. Jesus lives and lives forever, and he lives to save. He came into this world to save sinners. Ah, the apostle may claim he was cheap, but so will every sinner born again. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, but we see Jesus. The mercy, if we can just, in our thoughts, meditate on these things, in the secret and quiet place. Oh, may it not be permitted that the devil should rob us of these meditations when we go away from his house or his work. They are the life of the soul. Jesus said, because I live, ye live also. And therefore, if we are kept by the Spirit in meditation of Christ, we shall find that life divine springing up again and again, despite all our fears. Just another thought before we close. We want to also think upon this. We see Jesus as that one who sanctifies his people. And that's the most important and vital part of the pathway of a believer. In the last chapter, in this epistle, Paul writes, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people. That means separate them to himself. Not just separate them from others or from the world. There are some who have separated themselves from the world, more so in the days past. Many have shut themselves up in convents and monasteries that they might sanctify themselves. But that is not what this word is. That he might sanctify the people with his own blood. He sanctifies them to himself. They're his. His possession by purchase. His possession by love, in love. His possession through grace imparted. They're his. And therefore, in this separation, what is brought forth? Love to him who has set them apart for himself. Chosen of God ere time began, they choose him in return. And one of our hymns said, had not his choice prevented mine, I ne'er had chosen me. So what a miracle of grace it is to come into this portion of the text. We see Jesus as he who has separated us unto himself. God the Father sanctified the Son. He separated his Son for this work. And the dear Lord Jesus sanctified himself for this work. And that was condescending mercy. He laid aside his glory, as we sang in our opening hymn, that he might bring to pass eternal redemption for those his Father had given unto him. And the Holy Spirit uses this word, Jesus, to sanctify those who are under his teaching. He never points another way but to Jesus and his blood for sanctification, because there can be no other way. What a wonder to be under such divine teaching as this, and the blood of Jesus to effect this sanctifying operation in the heart. Makes it very precious. We read in our lesson how solemn to despise the blood of Christ, to tread it underfoot, having been brought to a knowledge of it, and then to depart. It cannot be shed again. Once offered, there can be no more forgiveness of sin. And so if this, by the very wickedness of the heart and mind is rejected, there can be no condemnation. But there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are sanctified, to those that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, God's people, every one of them are born again by the Word of God. That is Jesus, the incarnate Word, the living Word, the eternal Word. And he is placed by the power of God in the heart, in the understanding, revealed by the Holy Ghost. We read in our lesson concerning the blood of bulls and goats. What did that do? Well, it sanctified in the Old Testament dispensation to the purifying of the flesh. They went forth from that God-ordained service. They went forth with this felt realization within that through that sacrifice offered, they were for the season purified. But oh, the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ, purges the conscience from all sin. We have it in the chapter, I believe we read, on the Lord's Day. If the blood of bulls and goats, the ashes of the heifer, strengthen the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And when the Holy Spirit testifies this to the awakened soul, then that power of this blood, its efficacious power, leads that soul to trust completely in him who has fulfilled this sacred work. And so, a sanctified sinner is one who is set apart from the world, One who is washed, one who is cleansed, one who is justified in the sight of God through the merit of His only beloved Son. And there is no spiritual blessing ever a soul can receive which is not through this channel of Jesus. We see Jesus. You want a blessing. You long for a blessing. You pray for a blessing. Then where are you looking? There's only one source. One sure source. One certain source. Because it's heavenly. Eternal. It's in Jesus. That I may know Him, said the Apostle, and that embraces all the desire of our soul, because every blessing, every favour flows to us through this channel. It is Jesus' precious blood. But we must leave it. There are but a few more words. May the Lord add His blessing to us and teach us by His Spirit where our trust must lie.